What do you find it hard to talk to adolescent boys about? Is there something a little bit messy, a conversation you find yourself avoiding with your kids or grandkids? What was taboo when you were young? 1-300-222-702 is the phone number. Hunter Johnson is the founder of The Man Cave. He joins us frequently to talk about young men's emotional health. G'day, Hunter.
Hey, Josh. Great to be back. Hey, how about the diversity of this show, from the cosmos to the Sultan of Brunei to kids' parties to taboo topics for parents, grandparents, and young people?
It's not for everybody, Hunter, but then it's also for everybody. So
yeah,
some people are like, what the hell is Josh doing? And others are like, yeah, a little bit of everything. Hunter, what are the common things that come up for you that young blokes can't discuss?
So a big part of our programs for those who are listening and listening for the first time is we work with tens of thousands of teenage boys in high schools, really creating pockets of psychological safety where they can just take the mask off and learn to open up and talk about things, whether it's their emotions or things that are going on in their life that they've never really had the language, the space, or even the permission to talk about. And one of the activities we do is we give teenage boys post-it notes, and we say, completely anonymous, completely challenged by choice. Is there anything that you really wish you could talk about but you haven't had the chance to? Write it down on a post-it note. We'll squish them all up. We'll throw them in the middle. We'll pick one out or pick a couple out, and we'll have a conversation just to kind of hit some edges around something you really want to talk about. And it's pretty profound. We've probably got about 20,000 of these post-it notes now, which really reflect like the inner worlds of what teenage boys are grappling with. And it's interesting because once you see a teenager, you know, walking down the street, and potentially they're trying to posture like they're older, a little bit more mature, but through this activity you really get to see like the beauty of their inner world, but also the innocence. And yeah, just to rattle a few off to kind of get the conversation started, they're pretty diverse. So one is, you know, why is it so embarrassing to ask for help? Or has anybody ever had a panic attack before? How do you know if you're straight or gay? How do you know who you can trust? What do you do when your trust is broken? Are boys allowed to succeed anymore? Do the adults actually care about the world we're inheriting, or do they just care about themselves? And will I ever stop feeling like this? And how do I ask for help for my mental health? Am I allowed to hit on girls anymore? What's the hardest thing you've gone through, and how did you get through it? And will you ever overcome depression? I'm confused about it.
Wow. When you come up with answers, can you give me a call, Hunter?
That's right. Well, this is the show to do it, isn't it, Josh, from what you've shown me?
Where do you start then? So how many boys are there when you're doing this exercise, and how do you guide the conversation?
So, yeah, this is obviously after we've built safety and trust and respect in the room, and often we'll have a responsible teacher or a psychologist or school counselor in the room too. And what we'll do with the boys is really give them the opportunity to listen to what's there, and then to open up a conversation around what one they want to focus on first. And the whole point of this is not necessarily to come up with the scripted response, but actually it's to encourage the comfortability to raise topics that necessarily they wouldn't know how to raise or haven't had the opportunity to raise, but also to flex the muscle of being able to sit in polarity and have a differing opinion to someone, but actually to be able to be respectful of that opinion and really seek to understand, opposed to jumping straight into judgment. And yeah, it really depends on what's the culture of the group we're working with. You know, if it's a very like alpha group with a lot of big personalities in the group, it'll often be something that's quite emotional and personal that'll really drop them into the discussion. And examples are like boys asking, you know, how do you manage when your parents are going through a divorce? And we'll just kind of slow the conversation going and just going, has anybody navigated this before, and they have some advice they want to share from their own lived experience? And suddenly you're just using the wisdom of the group. And I think for me, that's the essence of powerful facilitation is. It's really extracting the knowledge from what's already in the group, opposed to, you know, most of our education system, which can very much be around rote learning information and regurgitating it back. You know, the real art of education is to elicit the wisdom from the group or from the young people, and that's what we really try to do.
Hunter Johnson is with us, the founder of The Man Cave, talking about what adolescent boys find it difficult to talk about? What was taboo when you were young? What the messy conversation is that you find yourself avoiding with an adolescent male in your life? 1-300-222-702 is the phone number at 11 minutes to 3 on ABC Radio right around New South Wales. A couple of themes leap out of those examples that you were reading there, Hunter. I mean, one is the interesting space that boys find themselves in relation to girls, to hitting on them, to consent. I mean, it breaks my heart to hear a young man say, are boys allowed to succeed anymore? And are you allowed to hit on girls? It betrays a misunderstanding of the dynamic, obviously. Where do you take that conversation?
Yeah, it depends on which one, obviously, as they can kind of go down different rabbit holes. But I think what we're really seeing is that there is this hesitation for boys to fully express themselves. And the nature of that, I think, is impacted by things like cancel culture or by, you know, the rise of phrases like toxic masculinity, which I know we've talked about it a number of times, Josh. But what those things are signals to young people, in this context, young men, around what can I and can't I say? And what we see is if they don't feel the comfortability for them to raise their opinion or to raise their voice, and instead it gets shut down, particularly if it's something that's a bit edgy or they know might elicit a reaction, that really just stagnates their growth and often will just kind of repress some beliefs that may come out and some behavior that actually perpetuates, you know, what we're all really trying to evolve out of is in some of those more outdated masculine norms. Mm. So for us, it's really allowing anything to be said. And part of that is opening up the permission for potentially politically incorrect conversations. And as we know, that the gender space, the language, the how potent and personal the gender conversation is really tricky to navigate these days. And what we really try to say to these boys is like, listen, it's all welcome. It's all welcome. And we need to be respectful in how we have this discourse. And it's so amazing because 99.9% of the time, the boys absolutely step up and they actually want to learn. And I think that's the powerful thing about authenticity is when people are authentic, we can feel that and then we can actually move into a positive discussion. And that's the tricky thing when things just get shut down or repressed is it gets put in the back corner. It becomes a bit rotten and we can't go anywhere with that. But it's a belief that, you know, boys may hold, and then it comes out, as I said, in some unhealthy behaviour.
Hunter Johnson founded The Man Cave, which tackles young men's emotional health and intelligence around Australia. We're talking this week about what is hard to talk to adolescent boys about and what was taboo when you were young, the messy conversations you find yourself avoiding with young men in your life. It's coming up to 8 minutes to three. Amy in Camden, g'day.
Hi, how are you?
Great. What's your situation?
I have a 16-year-old boy who, you know, I've always been really close with and obviously love very dearly. And he's sort of increasingly shifted away from the values that I model. And, you know, he's sort of taken on the Andrew Tate messaging pretty much to heart and has become increasingly secretive about just everything to do with his life, to be honest. It's I can't even get out of him what music he's listening to when he's listening to music on his AirPods around the place. And we're still really close and we still laugh together and he's currently learning to drive and it's so hard to talk to him about exploring those ideas and I try to, you know, not just go, Andrew Tate is a moron and how could you possibly listen to him because that makes you a moron too. So I'm trying to engage with him and say, you know, what about what he's saying really resonates with you and what ideas are you taking from him that, you know, you're not challenging in other ways and thinking about things differently? Because I don't want to push him away. I want him to eventually talk to me. I can't give up.
Amy, I'm so sorry. And to listeners who don't know Andrew Tate, he's a YouTube and social media figure who is sort of proudly misogynistic and old school in his gender ideas about men being the superior sex. And he's been, I believe, charged, Hunter, with human trafficking or some kind of, unseemly
he's
ring.
He's not someone I'd want my children to look up to as a role model. And, you know, my son has positive male role models in his life, and he has lots of positive things about him as well. Elliot's charismatic and charming and lovely, and he has a job. He's got a great work ethic. He's currently trying to work out, you know, what he wants to do next, whether he wants to stay on at school or go and get an apprenticeship. And so he's seeking out all of these things. And there's so many things that he does and he is that I'm so proud of. But this, you know, capacity to be led down this direction, it's so dangerous and so invasive, and it was so unexpected for me.
Amy, I'm so sure that so many people are hearing themselves in what you're saying. Andrew Tate, just to clarify what I was just saying, so yeah, he's been charged in Romania with rape, human trafficking, and forming an organised crime group to sexually exploit women. He denies the allegations. They are just allegations at this stage. Hunter, what's your advice for Amy?
I just double down on what you said, Josh. Amy, it's all too common, that experience, and I think what we're seeing, in particularly in schools, is Andrew Tate really has acted as this mouthpiece for teenage boys, because he, quote unquote, says what you're not allowed to, or what we're not allowed to. And, you know, I think as many of us know, you know, adolescence is a time of a significant maturation of both cognitive and social skills, but also of flexing our identity. And part of our identity from that, particularly that kind of 12 to 18 years, is testing the boundaries and the authority structures around us, which is often our parental figures or mentors or guides. And what we do know is when with our young people, but in this context, young men, test those boundaries, they will seek for mentoring or guidance from those who are directly outside the immediate family unit, which used to be from the community, the synagogue, the mosque, you know, the town hall, the sports club, which, you know, of course still takes place. But because we're so tapped into the internet these days, they are so exposed to people who grab the most attention online. And when it comes to figures like Andrew Tate, he's able to effectively capture, you know, the imaginations of teenage boys and really living out a teenager's dream, which is kind of sex, money, power on steroids. And the tricky thing is like how to, often I think about this is like your role as a parent in this stage is to really act as like at the bowling alley, you've got the bumpers on the side and the teenager's kind of the bowling ball hitting each side. The as you've already indicated, it's the long game and really kind of loving them through this period. And also, you know, which you're doing so well already, seeking to understand before jumping into judgment. But it's also such an important time to share stories about your family values and also your lived experience as a woman, and why someone like him, Andrew Tate, doesn't resonate with, you know, your life experience or the values of the family unit.
Amy, good luck. Good luck. Just don't make it you versus Andrew Tate, right?
Yeah.
Don't make it a binary that he has to choose, if that makes sense. Amy, great to talk to you. And Hunter, it's always fabulous to talk to you. One listener on the text line says, the far left have pushed young men so hard that they're now turning to the hard right for answers. That's one point of view. And Hunter, yours is slightly more nuanced, but contains a sprinkle of that diagnosis as well. Look forward to speaking to you next time. Thanks, mate.
Thank you, mate.
That's Hunter Johnson, the founder of The Man Cave, which tackles young men's emotional health and intelligence around Australia.